Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. After years of allowing state prisoners to wait until the end of their sentence to submit a DNA sample, Governor Snyder last week signing a new law that requires a sample to be submitted within 90 days of incarceration. The Republican state senator, Tanya Shootmaker, who sponsored the bill, joins me now. Welcome to the program, Senator.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
The initial law required DNA samples from prisoners by the end of their sentence. That was passed in the 1990s. Why did it take so long to require an earlier test?
Well, I think the intent of the original legislation was that it would be collected during it, and it was never really specified and never really understood that it should have been done earlier. And so my bill just kind of clarifies that the intent is, let's, you know, save the taxpayer money, let's solve these cold cases, let's do it right at the beginning of the sentence, and so there's no waiting around. So it just kind of clarifies what the original intent of the legislation was.
Do prisoners typically resist having their DNA taken?
Yes, they do. They typically resist, and so that might be another reason that the Department of Corrections was not doing it, because if you're getting out, you've got something to hold over their head. So they were saying, you know, they had all these rights and everything. So my bill simply says, no, you've committed a crime, you're incarcerated. We have every right to take your DNA and to solve these cold cases.
What keeps law enforcement officers from getting someone's DNA upon their arrest for any serious crime?
Well, actually, we already have a law that for current cases allows arrest when for certain arrests. I won't say all arrests. But certainly, if you're arrested for a felony or a sex offense, we do collect your DNA. But that's only going back for about the last 2 or 3 years. So there's a whole population in there that we have not collected their DNA. And in many instances, or some instances, that, you know, it could have led to a cold case solving that.
Are there laws in place then that restrict the right of law enforcement to take DNA at any given point?
No, there's no law out there that says that you can't, but, you know, people, you've got civil rights groups out there that argue it's an invasion of privacy and everything, and so that's been the resistance. But, you know, certainly I think there's the public policy interest outweighs the rights of somebody to collect DNA and to store in a database, especially if they've been arrested for a felony, which you need probable cause for, or if they're incarcerated. And especially, you saw a case up in Muskegon where a woman was raped, and when she was 13, and now she's, you know, middle-aged, and she came to testify before our committee hearing and stated that, you know, had they just done DNA testing back when this guy entered prison, you know, 15, 20 years ago, she would have known that her killer was behind bars. But because they waited until he was going to be released, they didn't catch him until that time. So that will prevent a lot of cases that have gone unsolved, like that case in Muskegon. Mm-hmm. And I think that really will make the public safer, because we also have another one. Example of a case that he was released from prison. We've got the DNA from a cold case that happened in the 70s. It's mitochondrial DNA, and the sample is not really great, but it has been linked to a person who is already released, and he's living as a free man, even though he, you know, there's a good chance that he probably did commit these murders.
So how quickly, then, once DNA is taken from a prisoner, is that sample able to be compared to the database? And how extensive is the database at this point in time?
I'm not sure how extensive the database is. I would imagine that it's, you know, how many, Michigan has about 55,000 prisoners, so that's what you can expect. After this is done, and they've been collecting it for people who've at least been arrested for the last 2 or 3 years. So that's probably about the database that you will be looking at after this law is passed. Probably only a fraction of that is currently on file. It will be quite extensive, but I think it will certainly solve a lot of crimes.
Do all local police departments have a pooled state DNA database?
Yeah, there's ways to collect them, and we have a company in Kalamazoo that makes it a lot easier, a swab DNA test, and so I think you'll see that the cost, roughly, and the cost is about, the prisoner gets charged $60 for the cost of this, so it's not being paid for by taxpayers or anything, it's being charged to the prisoner, and I just think it's the right public policy to do.
I'm talking to Republican State Senator Tanya Shootmaker, who sponsored a bill that was signed into law last week by Governor Snyder, which now requires prisoners to have their DNA sample submitted soon after they're incarcerated. Tanya, we've certainly seen cases where authorities have abused their power and manipulated evidence to put innocent people in prison, prisoners who were later cleared by DNA evidence. What kind of systems are currently in place to ensure that the DNA the state has isn't subject to that type of manipulation?
Well, there's many safeguards, and it's very hard to replicate. You know, you can't replicate DNA. It's almost a foolproof science. You know, that's not to say that, you know, you're not going to have other fabrications of evidence, but, you know, there's enough safeguards in there, I think, that will prevent any wrongdoing by any law enforcement that would have ill intent. But, you know, I like to think our law enforcement have the best interests of public safety in mind.
And when we look at DNA evidence at this point, can a person be convicted with DNA being the primary and even the only evidence in a case?
Certainly.
So when we look at the cases that are currently cold cases or unsolved, is there a sense of what percentage of those have DNA samples that are unmatched at this time?
I am not sure how many cold cases have samples of DNA, but I would imagine that a lot of them do. You know, it's relatively, you know, new as in like 20 years new of that we've been doing DNA technology, if not 15 years, which is, you know, relatively new. So that's, you know, like the one case I mentioned before, which happened in the 1970s, that was a very poor sample of a hair fragment. So, but certainly if that was a better piece of evidence in terms of had more than just the mitochondrion DNA, I think you would be having charges brought against this person. But because mitochondrial DNA, it still allows, it can only narrow it down to about 1% of the Caucasian race, there's still not enough evidence.
What about those who are serving a relatively short amount of time in jail? Will they also be required to submit a DNA sample?
Well, this is just anyone who is serving time in prison. And if they've been arrested of a felony, then and they're sitting in jail, they will have submitted their DNA. But if it's just a simple misdemeanor, such as running, you know, disturbing the peace or something, their DNA won't be taken.
Now, this bill got almost unanimous support at the Capitol. Are there any other corrections issues you see that will require direct action by the legislature, such as this one, that might be taken very soon?
You know, we're always looking at ways that we can improve our public safety. And a lot of times, you know, one of the reasons why this came to light was because of that case in Muskegon where the woman was outraged because, you know, it would have been a lot of less sleepless nights knowing that her rapist was behind bars all this time rather than roaming the streets. So a lot of times it comes across as public safety. I have another bill dealing with a reporting of a dead body. Certainly that would have been applicable in the Casey Anthony case, or if that happened in Michigan, in terms of, you know, another way to charge her in that she failed to report a dead body. If, you know, she, you know, because I believe her defense was that, you know, it was an accident. So certainly there's other ways that we're constantly learning to make sure that justice is served.
Republican State Senator Tanya Shootmaker, thank you for joining me, Tanya.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.